Today's reading is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you, David. Well, it's Thanksgiving. We don't have Thanksgiving in Australia, and it's a shame. I think it's wonderful that there is this time set aside to thank God for all his blessings and to spend time with family and enjoy turkey. I've entitled my message today, Give Thanks, on this psalm, Psalm 100. But I want to ask you, what if you made a list of things that you would want to be thankful for, or that you are thankful for, what would they be? Come on, I want some feedback. Nice and loud so everyone can hear you.
Family.
Your job. Sorry? Finishing cancer treatment. Woo! Way to go. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'll keep it away from her and that she'll have an enjoyable life for many, 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 many years. Amen? Anyone else? Who's thankful what? Sorry? A car that runs. Okay. Yeah? Good health?
Carmel Library.
Carmel Library. Marg is wrapped in the library. She'd spend all day there if she didn't have other things to do. Anyone else? Anything else? Sorry?
Freedom.
Amen. Your garden. Okay. Grandchildren, I wondered whether that would come up. Yes, we all love our grandchildren if we are grandparents. I would say that I love music. I think it's wonderful that God has given us music. Imagine living your life in a world without music. Can you imagine? Everything from the Beatles through to, well, I'm from the 60s, so, well, I love certain types of opera. I love classical music. I love jazz. I love pop music, some of it, and hymns and praise songs. And I love my wife, of course, not in that order, by the way, but what I love about my wife especially, I mean, apart from all the many things, when you come down to one of the ones I really love is that she does our finances, because I hate finances. So we all are thankful for a whole bunch of things. I was interested into looking into the beginnings of Thanksgiving and where it all started. And it was quite amazing, actually. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's more than a time of family or food. It's not just Turkey Day. Thanksgiving doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate somebody's birthday or an anniversary of some event. It is simply a day set aside to express thanks to God. What would the small handful of pilgrims who arrived on the Mayflower, who started the custom of setting aside a day of thanksgiving, what would they be thankful for? I mean, they really didn't have much. They didn't have any permanent homes, and they had no help to build any homes that they did build. They dug more graves in those first few years than they built houses. They had no means of transportation, just their legs, and their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get it for themselves and had very basic ways to cook, and they had no means of communication. They had no ability to get back to their loved ones back in England, no medical care, no retirement fund. They had very, very little. They had so many things to be ungrateful for, but they were grateful, and they started the whole thing of having a day set aside with a meal to thank God for everything. They had an unshakable faith in God, and that was what caused them to be thankful, as we'll see a little later in our looking at the psalm. In 1789, President George Washington made this public proclamation: whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress, believe it or not, have by their joint committee requested me to commend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Thanksgiving and prayer by observing by acknowledging the grateful hearts, with grateful hearts, the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the problem with these things. An alert came up and it covered my notes. Tell you what, I'll go back to paper. And now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, which has become the fourth Thursday of November every year, as you know, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. It was a day to thank God. A time set aside to acknowledge the gracious goodness of the God who provides all our needs. Psalm 100 was used back at the time of the temple in the Old Testament days with the Jewish nation. It was used as a call to worship as people arrived at the gates of the temple as they were going to enter in to worship the Lord. This was the psalm that was sung, and it's still today in synagogues, and Orthodox Jews recite this psalm every morning when they wake up. The first thing they do is recite this psalm. First of all, it's a call to joyful worship. I've got 2 points this morning that I see within this psalm. First of all, it was a call to joyful worship. It's actually called jubilati in some Bibles. It's a song, it's an outburst of joy, and it starts off by saying, make a joyful noise. So if you can't sing in tune, you can still make a joyful noise. But actually, the word is shout. Shout for joy. How many have shouted for joy in your life? I mean, I was thinking of getting you all to shout this morning as loud as you can. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Would you like to do that? Come on, let's hear a shout. Let's say, praise God, really loud.
Praise God!
It's not loud enough. Praise God! Amen. You see, a shout is something which comes from inside that is expressing with all your heart and with all your strength a praise to God. And you know, 33 times in the Old Testament, and 17 of those are tied directly to praising God, we are called, the people of God are called, to shout to the Lord. Psalm 20 verse 5, may we shout for joy over your salvation. Psalm 42 verse 4, I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Don't you love it? How did you come, and every Sunday when you do come, how do you come into the house of God? Do you come with a sense that I'm here to shout for joy, to praise God? And we don't just have songs at the beginning of our service because that's the thing you do. We do it so we can enter into a heart and engage in praise and worship and thanksgiving. That's the whole thought. It's not just coming to church, oh, we'll sing a few hymns and listen to some sermon or whatever. It's here to praise God, to thank Him. And the enthusiasm of the people of that day, which should be our enthusiasm as well as we sing these praise songs. We started off by singing this very psalm. We will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. It was just so beautiful. It was so wonderful. And that's exactly what we're here for. Vance Havner says, the same church members who yell like Comanche Indians at a ball game on Saturday sit like wooden Indians in church on Sunday. I like that. Some people don't worship with gladness because they don't worship at all. In fact, I think it's possible to be a practical atheist, as a Christian, as someone has termed it. In other words, you believe in God, but in essence, your life doesn't actually make any difference whether there's God or not. You just live your life, and God's sort of irrelevant to your life, except you come along on Sunday to church. God forbid that there should be anyone here that does that. Practical atheist. But it's easy to slip into that way of thinking and that way of living, where God isn't really a part of your life. You believe in God, and you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but life is just life, and, oh, we've got to go to church, that's the thing to do. And so you enter in. How can you come with a heart of praise when God is not a part of your life? When during the week you haven't been praying and trusting Him and seeing His hand and worshiping Him and living with a relationship with Him? Then you just sing the songs. But if God is a real part of your life and you see His hand in your life and you praise Him and you come to church to enter into the music and the singing of praise songs. So Spurgeon says our happy God should be worshipped by happy people. How do we respond to the most amazing God? He is God only. There is no other. And He is so great, so awesome in His love and His truth and His righteousness and His purity and His goodness, His sovereignty over all things, His power and His omniscience. He knows everything, past, present, future is all present to Him because He's eternal. And He's our God and our Father. How can you not respond with a shout of joy when you really consider that? So we are called here to worship God, not just to worship God, but with shouts of joy and making a joyful noise to the Lord. Then we have a call to sing. Not just a call to shout, but a call to sing, where he says, come into His presence with singing, or as one version has it, come before Him with joyful songs. And I like and I know that Rhonda will like, and all the rest of the music team will like the Psalm 98:4, where it says, shout for joy to the Lord, burst into jubilant songs with music. We there's one thing wonderful about the Christian faith. Down through all the centuries, there's been music and song. We are a singing people. We are worshiping people because we have something to sing about. Amen. Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20 says this, and next week we'll start on a small series on being filled with the Spirit and what that means and how it works out. But here it is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another or communicating with one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, or spiritual songs, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, is that what being filled with the Spirit means? Yeah, that's exactly it. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with joy and gladness, thankfulness and worship and praise. He glorifies Christ in me. He, when He's filling me, when He's in control of my life, will stir within me a heart of praise and worship. Oh, that we might allow His Spirit to fill us in that way. Worship that says, worship the Lord with gladness, or serve the Lord with gladness. The word worship and serve is interchangeable in the Hebrew and the Old Testament. And so when it says serve the Lord with gladness or worship the Lord with gladness, it is saying that as you come to Him, whether it's service in doing things like the ones who are out right now preparing for our dinner, for our meal after the service, they're serving the Lord hopefully with gladness. We'll eat it with gladness. But in our service, in our willingness to help people and to minister and be involved in ministry, then we're to do it with gladness, but also to, it is a form of worship, so it's an interchangeable word. And the third thing we are called to do is to a call to give thanks. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. You know, when there's a lack of thankfulness in a person, have you ever come across a person who just is so entitled? They don't give thanks. They don't say thank you. You know, you might go out of your way to do something for them. So don't even. I mean, how can you not say thank you to somebody who goes out of the way for you? But some people might be like that. But isn't it? How do you feel when somebody does that? You're dishonored, aren't you? Especially if you've gone to a lot of trouble and it's cost you something to do whatever you did for that person, and they didn't even say thanks. Hey. What has God done for us? What hasn't He done? How can I not be thankful to God? I mean, the very fact I exist is because He created me. The very fact I have the measure of health I do have is because He's allowing that. The reason I'm in this country, of a wealthy country and a free country, is His doing. I could have been anywhere. I could have been right now in Yemen with 7 million people on the brink of starvation. With a war going on of two other nations using their territory as a means of fighting each other. How sad. And yet I could have been there, brought up as a little kid in that place and facing that. How we need to thank God for everything He providentially has allowed in our lives. But when we don't thank Him, it's an evidence of pride. Entitlement is an issue today, more and more and more, that people feel entitled. They're growing up and somehow the parenting thing, I don't know what it is, the culture, but it's making people feel entitled. And the same thing then reflects back to their attitude towards God. So people are saying, oh, God's there to help me. They may not say it, but it's what they think and what we could easily think along with them. God's there to help me. That's why He's there. He's there to help me. I mean, I'm the center of the universe. He's there to serve me. What? He's God. And I'm a created being. I'm entitled to material blessings. I'm entitled to a good life. God, why aren't you doing it? Hey, we're going through this difficult patch, and it's really bad, it's really hard, but God, you should be looking after me. You're my God. See, we're the center, and we're entitled, and we transfer that to God instead of being thankful. There's a certain country of the world where there are hot springs and cold springs beside each other. And the local people used to bring their laundry and wash it in the hot water and then put it in the cold water and rinse it. And so a tourist was watching this and said to the guide, they must think God is generous to supply such ample, clean and hot, both hot and cold water. And the guide said, no, sir, there's much grumbling because he doesn't supply any soap. And you know, can't that be true of us? God supplies so much and then we grumble because he doesn't supply the soap. Oh, to be thankful. Our expectations of God, what he will do and when he will do it. We almost demand of God that he does these things. And therefore, ingratitude is an expression of pride and it's demeaning to God. Whereas thankfulness is glorifying to God. Paul said, what have we that we have not received? Psalm 50 verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. And Jesus said, he came not to be served, but to serve. If he came not to be served, how can we follow him and expect to be served by God? God, serve me. Look after me. I'm entitled. The cause for joyful worship is then dealt with in this psalm. He goes on to say the reason why we should be thankful as we approach him with gladness and songs and shouts. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. And we are the people, the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So by the fact that the Lord is God, then the Lord is good, and then the Lord is gracious. Let's look at those three very briefly. First of all, the Lord is God. The very fact that he is God should cause us to be thankful. That means he's sovereign. He's in charge of the universe. He's in charge of this world. He's in charge of the circumstances of your life and of my life. We can't do anything. We have no real ultimate control over anything in our lives. Even the things that we think we've got control over. We could lose our job or lose our life. We could lose our health. We could lose everything in a moment. And we know that, but we live as if we're in control. God is in control. He is Lord. The Lord is God. We are his creation. He made us, and we belong to him by creation. But then he says, and we are the sheep of his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, his people. So he is ours by creative right that he created us. But for those of us who know him and have a personal relationship with God, he is ours by being brought into his family, called here the sheep of his pasture, those who belong to him, his people, saved, becoming children of God, not because of anything we have done, not because we have earned the right by our righteous life or our living up to certain standards or doing all the religious stuff, but by his grace. He looks at us and he sees that we are sinners, every one of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. They all have turned aside, the Bible says. Every single human being is sinful in the sight of a holy God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes or trusts in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And by grace, God moves us, draws us to himself, and when we put our faith in Jesus, he forgives us, and we are children of God now and for eternity. God's grace calls us to himself. God's grace keeps us in him and walking with him. Even when we fall, his grace is there through our lives, and his grace continues into the eternal future. We are saved by grace, not by works, lest anyone should boast. When we know that God is God and he's the sovereign Lord of the universe, when we face difficulty, when we face dark days, when things are really hard, When we lose that which is the most precious thing to us or person. At that time, Herbert, a theologian, says the Christian should meet every adverse circumstance of life, not with a spirit of stoic resignation, but with a spirit of unfailing gratitude. Hey, what? You mean we can be thankful for all these blessings? Yeah, freedom and living in a land like this and having food and family and friends and so on. But he's saying here to be thankful for the dark things, the hard things, the sad things. Yes. For we know, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That God is in control of all things in our lives. And being in control, we call it providence. It means that whatever comes my way must come through the circle that is around us of God's wisdom, God's love, and God's goodness. In other words, if a difficult thing comes through that, penetrating through that circle around us, it will only come to us having gone through His goodness, His wisdom, and His love. Nothing in our lives is going to affect us unless God's providence allows it, and His providence is tied to His love, His goodness, and His wisdom. And many of us know times when the providence of God has allowed us to go through a really difficult time and disappointing time, perhaps, but as we look back, we see God's hand using that for a good purpose. Maybe we don't. And there's many things that we don't see what God's purpose is, what's good in that. But we do know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So He calls us to faith in Him. That if we believe, if we trust in Him, then we will be able to give thanks to Him, because He is God, He's in control, and He always operates in love, goodness, and wisdom. You all know, maybe some here visitors don't know, but when we came here, Marg had a mammogram planned for 7 months after we were due to leave and come here, and so she thought, well, why not have it a bit early and do it before we go? So she did, and found this very early stage of a very nasty cancer. One of the worst cancers you can get, but in the very early stages. But if you back up from that, there was our church that we're in previous to that. I haven't really shared this, but I left there, or we left there, having sort of been forced out. In a way we were. We weren't forced out, but there was a power play in the leadership. And we got to the place where it was obvious that we just had to go. It wasn't going to work. The 99%, 95%, whatever percent of the church were all happy, but just one or two who caused real grief and to us. And it put us in a situation where we just felt, well, the right thing is to move on. And that led us to eventually be called to this church and to find that Marg had cancer and able to get it dealt with before it spread and was life-threatening. And, of course, she's cancer-free now. And many times Marg has said, you know, when I've said, oh, I just think back to the times when that power play occurred and we had to leave that church. We loved that church, and it was growing, it was prospering, the blessing, God was in it. It was just a wonderful place to be. And when I'm sad about that, she reminds me, but don't forget, if we had not left that church and then come across here, I would be dead now. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, there's many other things that have happened in life with us, and I'm sure with you, where we don't see that. But it doesn't change the fact that God, even maybe when we get to heaven, we'll look back and say, oh, now I get it. In everything, give thanks. I've moved on to my next point. Sorry. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Trust Him no matter what comes your way. And then finally, the Lord is gracious. The steadfast love and faithfulness of God. His goodness, His wisdom, His power, His authority, His majesty, His glory, and everything else about Him. But we love to remind ourselves, don't we, and rightly so, that He's a God of love. He is love. He cannot love you more. He doesn't love you less than anyone else. He loves you so much. He loves you like He loves His Son. So much that He was willing to give His Son to die and in agony and to bear the sin of the world upon Him as He died on that cross. He loves you no less than His Son. Hey, that is love. And it's a steadfast love, it says here. The word is chesed in Hebrew. It is loyal love. He won't give up on you. He won't stop loving you. But we have to respond to His love with love. He's calling us to do that. And as we do, there's a final verse I want to turn to, and that is Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not with Him also give us all things? Thank you.
Shout for joy unto the Lord, worship Him with gladness. Let all the earth bring songs of praise, telling of His greatness. Know that the Lord we praise is God, He is God our Maker, and we are His, that people called sheep within His pasture. Oh, enter in His gates with praise, His courts with great thanksgiving, for He is good, His love endures morning after morning. To the Lord, see the way is open to live in peace beneath His grace, every sin forgiven. For He who knew no mark of sin took our sin upon Him, that we might be the righteousness of the God of heaven. Oh, enter in His gates with praise, His courts with great thanksgiving, for He has put His love in endures morning after morning.
Let's just do that in our hearts and minds. Let's just enter in with thanksgiving right now as I lead you in prayer. Let's do that right now. Father, we thank You. You are good. You are gracious. You are kind. You are everything that is worthy of honor and praise and worship. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done and continue to do. Thank You for Your providence. Thank You for even the dark days. Thank You, Lord, for the difficulties, because we know that in those you have a purpose and a plan, and you are gracious, and we can trust you in that. So as we sing this final song, may we enter into it, Lord, with hearts of praise and thanksgiving, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.